The adrenal cortex produces these types of hormones, cortisol or corticosteroids, aldosterone, and adrenal androgens. And each of these classes do different functions in the body. The adrenal medulla are concerned with the production of catecholamines, adrenaline and noradrenaline, or you can call them epinephrine and norepinephrine. This is a picture of the histopathology. Histopathology, when you dissect the adrenal from outside till the medulla. As you go from outside, you find fibrous capsule and fat around the adrenal medulla, the adrenal gland. Then you have three distinct layers in the cortex. And the layers are zona glomerulosa, zona fasciculata, zona reticularis. Okay? GFR. As you go from outside to inside, GFR, just to remember them. Okay? Glomerulosa, fasciculata, reticularis. And then the medulla. Histopathology are different from each other. And these are the hormones that are produced by the different layers. As you can see here, that the aldosterone. Let's go from the beginning. Cortisol and androgens are produced by zona fasciculata. Cortisol and androgen by fasciculata and reticularis, by two layers. We can use this for as a pointer, huh? You can see it? Okay. But fasciculata and reticularis, these two zones, they produce cortisol and androgen. So these two layers are similar, functionally they are similar. You can consider them as one unit, okay? They produce cortisol and androgen, corticosteroids and androgens. While the outermost layer, glomerulosa, produce aldosterone. And the regular the regulators or the controls for each of these two separate units are different. For fasciculata and reticularis are controlled by the ACTH from the pituitary. While the production of the aldosterone is independent from the ACTH. ما له علاقة بالACTH. It's regulated by renin angiotensin system and by potassium. This is a classification of adrenal steroids. Glucocorticoids, like cortisol, mineralocorticoids, aldosterone and others, and androgens like testosterone and its metabolites. These are major classifications of the adrenal steroids with the differences in the structure, as you can see here. Okay, so here you have the androgens, glucocorticoids, mineralocorticoids, and how is each of them is. The most important is to remember that the aldosterone production is not dependent on the pituitary. It has nothing to do with the ACTH. It's regulated by the electrolytes, potassium mainly, and the extracellular volume. While the production of the glucocorticoids and androgens by the fasciculata and reticularis is regulated by the ACTH from the pituitary. Now, when we talk about the adrenal disorders, these are the sort of disorders that we need to talk about. Cushing syndrome, Addison's disease, hyperaldosteronism, syndrome of congenital adrenal hyperplasia, hirsutism, virilization syndromes. And in the adrenal medulla, the most important thing is the feochromocytoma. And when we talk about adrenal insufficiency, if somebody says adrenal insufficiency, literally speaking, it should mean failure of production of all the hormones. Lakin it is known, this is terminology, it is known that when we talk about adrenal insufficiency, we mean insufficiency or hyperfunction of the adrenal cortex. So we are not talking about the medulla here. When we say adrenal insufficiency, we mean the cortex. The problem is because, as I said, the cortex is 90% of the adrenal mass, while the medulla is only 10%. So it's a lack of production of adrenal glucocorticoids and mineralocorticoids. This is the meaning of adrenal insufficiency. And it's classified according to the level of the defect. Is the defect in the adrenal or the defect is in the pituitary? If the defect is in the adrenals, it's called primary adrenal insufficiency. If the defect is in the pituitary, we call it secondary. So this is an important thing to know. Now when you say Addison's disease, this is not synonymous to adrenal insufficiency. It means only the primary adrenal insufficiency. Addison's disease لا تعني إلا primary adrenal insufficiency. ما لها علاقة بال secondary adrenal insufficiency. Okay? This is the classical disease described by Addison. Now, regarding the causes, there are very various causes, and they are classified according to the nature of the defect. If it is anatomical destruction of the gland, usually chronic, sometimes acute, it could be idiopathic. This is very common. Idiopathic, they call it idiopathic atrophy, but most of the times it's autoimmune disease. Due to production of antibodies that destroy the adrenal cortex. It could be surgically removed for any reason, or certain infections, particularly tuberculosis and fungal infections, viral infections, nowadays AIDS can destroy the cortex. Could be due to adrenal hemorrhage, and that, if it occurs, usually it's acute. And it could be an invasion by metastasis or by amyloidosis or sarcoidosis. So this is due to anatomic destruction of the adrenal cortex. The condition could not be related to the anatomical changes, but due to metabolic failure, due to lack of certain enzymes. Some of the enzymes could be lacking, like in congenital adrenal hyperplasia. Sometimes certain enzymes that are needed for the production of cortisol are lacking, they are not there. So this means that the process of synthesis of cortisol is not complete. So this is why we call it metabolic failure. Or sometimes, instead of deficiency of enzymes, you may have enzyme inhibitors. Certain drugs, which are used sometimes, they can block the synthesis of the hormone. They inhibit the enzymes that involve in the process of synthesis of the cortisol. And these are main examples. Methyroporin, now it's rarely used. In fact, we don't use it. It used to be in the past. Ketoconazole, which is commonly used, this ketoconazole is antifungal. It inhibits the enzyme that produces the cortisol. And for that reason, sometimes we use ketoconazole as a treatment. When there is no, the surgery is not feasible for any reason or any other treatment, we use ketoconazole sometimes in the treatment of Cushing syndrome.
Ketoconazole is a doctor move anti-aldosterone antagonist.
Anti?
Aldosterone antagonist.
هو أصلاً antifungal.
Anti-aldosterone is the
لكن احنا نحتاجه it prevents the synthesis of cortisol. يعني prevent the synthesis of cortisol. عشان كده الناس اللي عندهم هايبركورتيسيليزم اللي هي كاشينج سيندروم، احيانا اذا كان ما في امكانيه لاي سبب، ما في امكانيه للعلاج الجراحي، then we use ketoconazole to block the synthesis. يسموها medical adrenalectomy، يعني هي ما هي سيرجي يعني، because it blocks the synthesis. And certain drugs that are used as cytotoxic agents like mitotane, I think again it's not used commonly nowadays, but some oncologic drugs they block the synthesis. Sometimes the problem is neither anatomic nor metabolic, but because of antibodies that are produced. These antibodies, they block the receptors of the ACTH. So the ACTH will not stimulate the adrenal function. Now, secondary adrenal, primary. Secondary adrenal insufficiency could be caused by hypopituitarism. Hypopituitarism due to hypothalamic pituitary disease. A disease could be either in the pituitary or in the hypothalamus. But it means that there is no stimulation of the adrenals from higher levels. Mm-hmm. Or could be, which is more common, could be due to suppression of the hypothalamic pituitary axis. Could be suppression because of exogenous steroids. Somebody is taking steroids for any reason, then he will suppress the axis, hypothalamic pituitary adrenal, mm-hmm. will be suppressed, and this will cause adrenal insufficiency. Mm-hmm. Or it could be due to suppression from endogenous steroids. If you have high steroids produced by the body, this suppresses the adrenal. The adrenal will sleep, and this sleep sometimes can take long time, and in order to wake up it takes a 9 months to 1 year sometimes. So this is very important, yeah, classifications of adrenal and adrenal primary and secondary adrenal insufficiency. And let me just give you an example. Yesterday, I saw a patient who has, she's known case of diabetes. And she used to have high dose of insulin. And all of a sudden, yesterday, I saw her results of blood sugar, it's coming down and down. And it reaches sometimes, she develops hypoglycemia. She reaches 20, 30 milligram per deciliter or so, very low. She reduces the dose of insulin to maybe 25% of the previous dose, and yet she still has hypoglycemia. So how can we explain that? This is what happens then. Because I asked her whether she increased the dose of insulin or if she changed the style of her diet, anything. No, nothing. But I know this patient. I diagnosed her a long time ago as a case of tumor in the pituitary. So that tumor now is involving the pituitary and reducing the production of ACTH. The ACTH, and therefore the cortisol is reduced. Therefore, she developed hypoglycemia. And another patient, again before, she used to take more than 40 units of insulin, and every time she develops hypoglycemia, they reduce the dose of insulin until she reached 2 units. From more than 40, she reduced 2 units of, she needed 2 units of insulin, and still she has hypoglycemia. This could be the presentation sometimes of this. So hypoglycemia is one of the features of adrenal insufficiency, whether that is primary or secondary. Now, the incidents and these things are rare, they occur at all ages, and both sexes equally. As I said, Addison's disease results from progressive destruction of the adrenal cortex. Yani, at least you need to destroy 90% of the adrenal cortex in order to have the clinical features manifested. What is this? It's a tumor involving the adrenal. Tumor found, and it destroys. Tumor sometimes, if it is located in the adrenal, can destroy the adrenal gland. 50% of the Addison's disease could be due to autoimmune diseases, due to adrenal antibodies that destroy the adrenal cortex. And usually, if the problem is autoimmune, usually it is associated with other types of autoimmune diseases like thyroid diseases, hypothyroidism or hypoparathyroidism, and that sometimes polyglandular autoimmune disease or syndromes, different groups of autoimmune glandular disease they present together. So the autoimmune disease could be either endocrine disorders or non-endocrine disorders. Endocrine disorders like what we said, chronic lymphocytic thyroiditis, premature ovarian failure. You may find a young patient, 30-year-old, and she has ovarian failure with high LHFSH and less estrogen. Type 1 diabetes, primary hypothyroidism, hyperthyroidism, all these are types of adrenal disorders which could be associated together. They come together. Or could be associated with non-endocrine disorders, autoimmune disorders, like pernicious anemia, vitiligo, alopecia, chronic active hepatitis, and others, myasthenia gravis, etc. These are the symptoms that are commonly found in adrenal insufficiency, and these symptoms are non-specific, and I am sure you know what's the meaning of non-specific. It means that
it doesn't mean
that if you find these symptoms necessarily that the patient has adrenal insufficiency only. It could be same symptoms could be found in different diseases. Mm-hmm. You may find them in hypothyroidism and vitamin D deficiency and others. But commonly these are the common symptoms that you may find. And they are not in the same frequency. Some of them are found very commonly like weakness, tiredness, fatigability. It's a very common symptom. Anorexia, GIT symptoms like nausea, vomiting, abdominal pain, etc. And as you can see, these are very wide and non-specific symptoms. In regard to signs, one of the important features is weight loss. Weight loss, almost always found. And I remember a patient, I mentioned this story to your colleague, he was a young 22-year-old university student. He came with a history of loss of weight. He lost about 20 kg of his body weight. And he was fully investigated thoroughly for all possible causes, malignancy, etc. At the end, when we did for him the test for adrenal insufficiency, it was positive. So he has adrenal insufficiency. And that was the only manifestation, the only presentation. He doesn't have the other symptoms. Treated and then he gained weight. Other signs, hyperpigmentation of the skin, and we are going to talk about what are the causes of hyperpigmentation. Decreased axillary and pubic hair in women only. Why in women? Why not in men?
Because in men, testosterone is produced from also the testicles. You may find it from the adrenal.
Yes, the men have two sources of androgens. Adrenal and testicles. While in women, they have only one source, which is the adrenals. So if they lose this, they lose the hair as well, the axillary and pubic hair. Hypotension is very important, although not very common, but in severe cases, you may find hypotension, especially postural hypotension. And in order to check for postural, what do? Take blood pressure line, and then after standing and wait for 2 or 3 minutes for a physiological adjustment. Don't take it immediately. Wait for 2 minutes or 3 minutes even. And if there is drop in the systolic or diastolic blood pressure, there is postural hypotension. Sometimes you may find vitiligo, which is just, vitiligo is just, in fact, is association but not a sign of hypoadrenalism. It's just association. So as usual, symptoms, signs, and investigations. In investigations, the common findings is hyponatremia and hyperkalemia. Sometimes, rarely, you may find hyperkalemia, but hyponatremia and hyperkalemia are the classical findings in severe hypoadrenalism. You may find azotemia, which is the high urea, and azotemia is different from uremia. Uremia, azotemia plus symptoms of renal failure, but here azotemia only the urea is high. You may find anemia sometimes, eosinophils, but these are all non-specific. Now, a word about hyperpigmentation. Usually it is generalized, involving the skin and the mucous membranes. And this is very classical in long-standing adrenal insufficiency. Very very important feature. Sometimes it's the one which gives us the clue about the diagnosis. can be found, and when you find this, when you find adrenal, when you find hyperpigmentation in the skin or in the mucous membranes in the, inside the mouth, it indicates which type of primary. Why?
ACTH. Yeah. ACTH for melanocyte stimulating hormone.
Yeah, because the explanation for this is that when the adrenal fails, then the ACTH will be produced more from the pituitary. And the pigmentation is due to a hormone which is called melanocyte stimulating hormone. Melanocyte stimulating hormone does not exist in human being independently or separately. We don't have in human animals, yes, there is many melanocyte stimulating hormone. But in men, it's not found like that. But it is part of the ACTH. So part of the ACTH is melanocyte stimulating hormone. So whenever ACTH is high for a long time, you find hyperpigmentation. These are the areas that you can find in exposed area, which are exposed or area which are subject to pressure, like knuckles, elbows, knees, etc., or inside the mouth and the mucous membranes, in the buccal mucosa, inside the cheeks and over the tongue, lips sometimes, and sometimes rare areas like palmar creases, yeah, it's very important, and also and around the nipples.
دكتور.
أيوه.
البرمكريزس معناها يعني.
نعم.
البرمكريز يعني الخطوط يعني.
هي الخطوط هذه في اليد. هاي بالمر كريزس. You may find them hyperpigmented. يعني I remember a patient of mine when he presented with hypoadrenalism, with hypotension on all the features, he was completely black like African people. And he said, I was not like this. I'm lighter than that. Yes, I'm black, but not like this. And we did not believe him until we asked him to bring a previous photo. And this is a very important tool. Somebody tells you that I became different. And if you compare the picture, the big difference. He was light. And whenever he develops the disease, he becomes black. If he stops the treatment, he'll go again black. He takes treatment, he becomes more lighter. It's very significant.
How long until he become return to his original color?
It takes a few months. Yeah, it doesn't take a long time. A few months, maybe 3 or 4 months. Later. Now, always in medicine, we start by symptoms, history, science, and examination, then laboratory investigations, then imaging. So imaging, what is the imaging procedure of choice in adrenal? Which one you'd like to ask? Now we have gone through symptoms, history, physical examination, laboratory. Then you want to show the adrenal shape or size. What do you do?
CT.
CT. Which one you will choose? If you are to choose, which one you will choose?
Ultrasound.
Abdomen X-ray or CT. MRI. MRI. في حالات الادرينال تبركلوس يو ماي فايند كالسيفيكيشن بس ذيس از نوت دايجنوستيك ان اتسيلف يعني اتس نوت انف تو دايجنوست بس ات تيلز يو جيفز يو ا كلو ذات موست لايكلي ذا بيشنت هاز لونج ستاندينج ادرينال تبركلوس لكن روتينلي وي دونت دو ات ناو دايز اكشوالي سبيكينج وي دونت دو ات يعني وي هاف بيكوز وي هاف مور سوبيريور بروسيجرز اللي هي سي تي و ام ار اي. The difference between MRI and CT is not that big difference. There is no, but the CT is cheaper, maybe easier to get, and nowadays we have a good resolution CT, and in fact it's the best for retroperitoneal structures. Adrenals are retroperitoneal, so it gives you the shape, size, and if there is any pathology in the adrenals, even if there is calcification, you can see it. Sometimes you may find adrenal atrophy, sometimes you find adrenal enlargement. In what conditions you may find enlargement? These are the conditions. When there is granulomatous disease, especially if you have bilateral adrenal enlargement, it's found in tuberculosis, fungal infections, CMV infections, infiltrative diseases like malignancies and adrenal hemorrhage. Okay? So this is CT. As you can see, it's very clear, very... that's the normal one with the arrow. And the one below it is the kidney, which you can see. So this is the kidney, and this is the other kidney here. And this is the adrenal. As you can see, it's shaped like this. That's normal adrenal. Now here, you have metastasis in both sides, and it shows very huge. This is one of my patient. This is the right adrenal mass. There's a mass in the adrenal, and this is the kidney. Even it's like pushing the kidney a little bit down, looking at it. Well, adrenal seems to be very clear. Huh? Sometimes the adrenal insufficiency develops very acutely, and this could be sometimes catastrophic. And patient should be treated as emergency case in MICU. And usually this is due to precipitation by infection. The patient may have mild degree of adrenal insufficiency. Then due to a certain cause, like infection, hemorrhage, acute stress or disease, then he develops deterioration of adrenal insufficiency. And it's like infections, trauma, or surgery, or severe dehydration. Or if the patient was taking steroid for replacement, and then all of a sudden he stops it. The patient is in high dose of steroid, either for replacement or because he has a disease that needs steroids. For example, he has asthma or rheumatoid arthritis, and he takes high dose of steroid. Then all of a sudden he stops it. This can precipitate acute adrenal insufficiency. Because as I told you, in this case, chronic use of steroids will suppress the adrenals. If you withdraw them quickly, the adrenals will not be stimulated. And this will develop into adrenal insufficiency. Same symptoms in acute, same as a chronic, but here the hypotension and shock are the most common and remarkable. They may have fever, severe dehydration, nausea, vomiting, anorexia, abdominal pain, etc., and hypoglycemia, especially in children. Same electrolytes findings, it could be sometimes due to hemorrhages. Yani acute and adrenal insufficiency could be due to hemorrhage in the adrenals. I have to go quick. Now, secondary adrenal insufficiency. I already gave you example of that. I gave you example of two patients who were all right before, and all of a sudden they start to have unexplained hypoglycemia. And this is because of the adrenal insufficiency, because of the pituitary involvement. So mainly it's due to ACTH deficiency, most commonly due to this is the commonest now, of course, exogenous steroid. When you have exogenous steroid, that suppresses the ACTH production. But you may have other causes like pituitary or hypothalamus tumors that suppress the ACTH. But usually, I'll talk about this later. Now the pathology, the ACTH deficiency is the primary event. And this leads to the decreased cortisol and androgen secretion. And that's understood physiologically. But aldosterone secretion from which layer? Usually this is unaffected by the ACTH deficiency, as we said, because it's not controlled by ACTH, it's controlled by renin-angiotensin and potassium. So, for that reason, the electrolyte disturbance that we described in the adrenal primary adrenal insufficiency here, hyponatremia, hyperkalemia, usually are not prominent in the secondary type of adrenal insufficiency. Then the primary usually involves the three layers together, while the secondary involves the two inner layers, zona fasciculata and zona reticularis. واضح؟ طيب now in early stages of secondary adrenal insufficiency the basal STH and cortisol levels may be normal. This is important to know that especially when you start gradual, when you start gradually, the basal secretion of ACTH from pituitary and basal secretion of cortisol could be affected, but to a low degree, yani minimally reduced. And that may be sufficient for the daily activity. My bayin al shakhs in mando insufficiency. But if the patient is subjected to any form of stress, whether it is physical or psychological stress, infection, trauma, road traffic accident, then he needs more steroid. That's what happens normally. In normal people, they are in, subject to stress. The adrenal double or triple the production of cortisol. But if the adrenal is not functioning properly, then it cannot double its secretion. Then the disease manifested. So the ACTH, this is why we need to distinguish between the basal secretion and the reserve capacity of ACTH. And reserve مخزون الاحتياط. وعنده الاستيتش العادي اللي يحتاجه يوميا بس ما عنده الاحتياط اللي يغطي الستريس. Okay, this is why this we need this point when we investigate the patients. When we do investigations, we need this important point. What are the clinical features here? How do they differ from the primary? Usually, chronic, non-specific manifestations. Somebody comes to you saying he feels always fatigued, weak. He may lost some of his body weight, pains, GIT symptoms. These are some of the features. So as I said, it's non-specific, but should be kept in mind. Adrenal insufficiency. Ayo. ما هو يعني الإنسان الطبيعي لما يصير له ستريس ايش يصير عنده؟ الكورتيزول يصير يتضاعف 3 مرات تقريبا يعني. اللي ما عنده الكاباسيتي ما عنده الريزيرف اوف ذا اس تي اتش هي ويل فيل ذا ادرينال ويل فيل ذن هي ويل ديفلوب هايبوتنشن هي ويل فيل مور سيك هي مي هاف الكترولايت ديستربنس حتظهر السيمبتومز اوف اكيوت ادرينال انسفشنسي. He may develop shock as well. Right. And sometimes this could present acutely if the precipitating factor is acute, like as I said, trauma or surgery or something. This is why it's important to tell the patients to carry a report or something to show that they have this problem, so that the team who manages him knows the problem. So here the difference is here. From primary, that you don't expect to find hyperpigmentation. If you find hyperpigmentation, this is primary, not secondary. And we explained this already. Other symptoms, like volume depletion, dehydration, hyperkalemia, usually absent, and I already explained why. You know why, huh?
Aldosterone.
Because aldosterone is not involved here. Hypertension is usually absent in acute presentations. Hypernatremia may occur as a result of water retention. So weakness, lethargy, easy fatigability, anorexia, etc. All these hypoglycemia already I explained this. Why hypoglycemia more here? Because of lack of ACTH and cortisol. You may find you know, if the pituitary has a lesion, like a tumor, so the tumor destroys the cells that produce the ACTH. But usually it does not select only the cells for the ACTH. Mm-hmm. It destroys other cells. Mm-hmm. So this is why you may find other features of hypopituitarism. Mm-hmm. Not only hypoadrenalism, hypopituitarism. Yani it may affect the thyroid, it may affect the gonads. So it could be mixed with other axis of pituitary and target axis. So features of loss of other pituitary hormones like hypogonadism, hypothyroidism, hypersecretion of growth hormone. If the patient has acromegaly or prolactin secreting adenoma, then you may find the features of the acromegaly or the hyperprolactinemia, which are known to you, I hope. And in addition to manifestation of hormonal hypersecretion or hyposecretion, you may find also pressure symptoms. And these are vision, the vision may be affected, decreased vision, and the visual defect may be also affected. And also the patient may have headache, commonly they have headache mainly. So headache and visual disturbance as a result of pressure symptoms from pituitary or from from pituitary tumors, which is not found in primary adrenal insufficiency. This is the difference. Now here we come to the diagnosis of adrenal insufficiency. Somebody may think that, okay, if I suspect adrenal insufficiency, I'll just do cortisol. Will that be helpful? The answer is no. Because cortisol, as you know, the secretion of cortisol is episodic. It's not just continuous, it's pulsatile. So you may find it, you check it now, you find it low, then later on you find it high. So it's not useful as if you just take basal cortisol, it's not useful for the diagnosis. So basal levels of steroids in plasma or urine may be normal in partial adrenal insufficiency. Most of the times they are normal. Therefore, we need to test the reserve, which I already explained. So in order to know the reserve, you know to challenge. You need sort of challenging. You need, يعني, زي تحفيز يعني, okay? You need to challenge and see, could this adrenal produce more steroids if it is subject to stress or not? So how do we stress it? These different methods. One method is to give ACTH injection, rapid ACTH injection, IV or IM. If it produces further secretion of cortisol, this means that the adrenal is still functioning. Another method is to you can check plasma ACTH level. Just take blood level for plasma, If you find ACTH high, this indicates this is prime adrenal insufficiency. If it is low, if it is normal or low, this might be secondary type. Methylpoint test, this is one of the tests which used to be done in the past.
Cortisol.
But now it's no more used, so we'll skip that. The other important method to do is insulin-induced hypoglycemia. You produce hypoglycemia by giving the patient insulin. And then you measure what?
Cortisol.
Cortisol. If it is increased, that's normal. If it does not, that's abnormal. And then CRH stimulation test, cortisol-releasing hormone stimulation. Now, I might go into this details now. But if you suspect the patient has secondary adrenal insufficiency because of pituitary tumors, depends on what tumor you are suspecting. If you are suspecting growth hormone, you have to look for high growth hormone. If you are suspecting prolactin producing adenoma, then you have to measure prolactin. You may find it usually high in the thousands. So you may look also for other hormones like thyroid hormones, testosterone or estrogen if you are suspecting hypogonadism as well. Also, you have to look for the pressure effects by pituitary tumors. So how do we evaluate? Just now we'll go into the details. How do you do that? Let's talk about rapid ACTH stimulation test. Rapid ACTH stimulation test. The other term for that, short synactin test. Short synactin. Okay, synactin like just remember synthetic ACTH. Anyhow, what we give here, we give ACTH. First, you take blood sample for cortisol. This is the zero time. Take blood for cortisol. and then you give ACTH 250 milligram IV or IM, you give it to him. And then after 30 minutes, take another sample of cortisol. Then 60 minutes again. So 0, 30, and 60 minutes. You repeat the cortisol. Normally, if the patient has normal, you should find cortisol increasing. If it's not increasing, then there is a problem in the adrenal. So at the same time, if you want to check for plasma level of ACTH before you give the ACTH, you take the plasma level of ACTH, because that helps you to distinguish between primary and secondary, as we said already. So here we have a case, if you find, if the test is positive. Positive means that there is failure to increase cortisol after a stage. So it is positive. No, I'm here, now we say there is primary, there is adrenal insufficiency. But you want to know, is it primary or secondary, then you check ACTH. If it is elevated, this is primary insufficiency. If it is normal or low, it's secondary. Yani, you know, in order to have impaired response of cortisol to ACTH, it's impaired. At the same time, you find ACTH level normal, although it's normal within the normal range, but this is we call it inappropriately low. Yani, relative to the
efficiency.
The cortisol, this is reduced ACTH. It should be high. فكونوا إنه مرتفع أصلاً فدليل إنه في problem in the pituitary. The point is, it's not necessary to find the low ACTH. You may find it low. You may find it normal. Normal in the presence of adrenal insufficiency means that there's a problem in the pituitary. واضح النقطة دي ولا؟ طيب. If you find normal ACTH response, yani you give ACTH and the cortisol is normal, what does that mean? Does it rule out primary adrenal insufficiency?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Does it rule out secondary adrenal insufficiency?
No.
Let's take them one by one. Normal ACTH test, yani you give ACTH, cortisol is increased. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean?
Primary.
Excellent. This is the point. Normal response of cortisol to ACTH injection means that the primary is not there. Mm-hmm. Adrenal is functioning very well. Khalas. Like, does it exclude secondary?
No.
Why? Because in the early stages of secondary hypoadrenalism, the adrenal may still has some function, but it's not stimulated enough. So when we stimulate it, it works. So at the beginning, it's okay. It might be normal response at the early stages. But after a long time of suppression or lack of stimulation, then it might get atrophied, and then it will be abnormal test. يعني الفكرة بس إنه primary and normal ACTH excludes primary. In the early stage of secondary hypoadrenalism, the ACTH stimulation test might be normal, but in late stages, abnormal. But insulin hypoglycemic test, نفس الفكرة. I induce hypoglycemia by insulin, giving insulin. It is increasing the same way. Okay.
So, doctor, the ACTH stimulation test is not normal. It can be either primary or late secondary.
Yes. Yes. But طبعاً you have other features to distinguish. For treatment, يعني basically we need to replace cortisol. And in acute stages, when the patient, especially if the patient has shock or hypotension, you have to give IV hydrocortisone. And you have to correct the fluids, deficiency, electrolyte disturbances, all these you have to correct. And to give support, but then later on you can shift to oral agents like prednisolone, which is the drug of choice because it's long acting. Yeah, you give it once daily. But if you want to give hydrocortisone,
twice.
Then you have to give twice, early morning and late.
In the morning?
Yes, the major dose in the morning and smaller dose in the evening. I prefer long-standing prednisolone because it's good for compliance. The patient likes it just once daily, and better to take it early in the morning at the time when the patient is going to be active during the day. It's very important to treat the underlying disease. If the patient has tuberculosis or other infections, of course, you have to treat. Then another important point that you need to educate the patient and also to give, better to give a report or a small card indicating the diagnosis and the treatments he's taking. Because if he stops the treatment suddenly, he may go into shock. It could be fatal unless it is promptly. But this is important, yeah, to give. And West, they recommend to give the patient bracelet that like a watch, they can put it with labeling. But here, I don't think it's accepted in our society. So what I give, I give small card, غلفة بلاستيك زي بطاقة شخصية مكتوب فيها diagnosis. This is diagnosis so and so, so and treatment. So whenever he goes, whatever he has any problem, then everybody can understand this. They can give him steroid immediately. This is very important, yeah, to give. And another important point is that you need to tell the patient if he is subjected to any kind of stress, like acute illness, flu, or whatever, they have to double the dose of steroid for 2 or 3 days, like to have similar, like what happened physiologically. He can double the dose temporarily, and then he goes back after that to the original dose. That's all. I think we have a few minutes for questions, although this... Right, Cushing syndrome, what's the meaning of Cushing syndrome? مهم جدا الترمينولوجي هذا. Cushing syndrome simply means increased cortisol secretion, whatever the cause. Whatever the cause, any case of hypercortisolism, it means Cushing syndrome. But if you say Cushing disease, this means that you are talking about a pituitary tumor that secretes ACTH in high doses, in high amount. Okay? هناك Addison's disease, primary Addison. Cushing disease, secondary or ACTH dependent Cushing syndrome. لما نتكلم على Cushing syndrome, معناته احنا نتكلم على all kinds of hypercortisolism. If we talk about Cushing disease, you talk about pituitary tumor. Ectopic ACTH syndrome. Cushing syndrome could be because
of
either exogenous, patient is taking steroid, or because of steroid. This steroid could be endogenous because of ACTH high, or could be exogenous, patient is taking steroid from outside. And the ACTH over secretion could be either from pituitary or from outside the pituitary. If it is from outside the pituitary, we call it ectopic ACTH, like what happens in some tumors. Yes, tumor, especially bronchial carcinoma. Okay, the most common cause of Cushing syndrome is iatrogenic use of steroids, which is used commonly nowadays. Yeah. And usually it causes stimulation of the adrenals, and this, it causes bilateral adrenal enlargement. Both adrenals will be enlarged. Okay. Then, if it is not iatrogenic, not exogenous, then it is divided into two kinds. One, ACH dependent, and the other, ACH independent. يعني أما because of ACH is increased, or because it's not related to ACTH. So if it is ACH dependent. And it depends on from where the ACTH is coming. Is it coming from the pituitary? Then you call it Cushing's disease. Or is it coming from non-pituitary neoplasm, like tumors in lung, for example? And then we call it ectopic stage. Or it could be STH independent. يعني ما له علاقة بالSTH. STH is not involved here. And this could be, as I said, because of high doses of steroids taken from outside, or because of adrenal neoplasm. Problem could be from the adrenal itself. The adrenal has a neoplasm or a tumor that produces cortisol independent from the STH. Okay? This is, we call it adrenal neoplasm. And this neoplasm could be adenoma, yani benign, or could be carcinoma. Or could be due to nodular adrenal hyperplasia. Yeah, the one which comes from the adrenal, either because of neoplasm, adenoma or carcinoma, or because the whole gland cortex is has hyperplasia, and usually it is nodular. And there are different types. I don't want to go over them because of the time, but you may find. And it could be factitious. Factitious means that it could be due to other reasons. Now, these are the tumors that usually produce STH, especially small cell carcinoma of the lung, which is 50% of ectopic STH due to this. Pancreatic islet cell tumors, carcinoid tumors, medullary carcinoma of the thyroid, and pheochromocytomas and red tumors sometimes give that. Anterior pituitary adenoma, 90% of the Cushing disease. The Cushing disease, 90% is due to pituitary adenoma, but usually they are classified into microadenoma or macroadenoma. The cut point is 10 millimeters. If it is less than 10 millimeter, we call it microadenoma. More than 10 millimeter, it's called macroadenoma. Most of the time, these are benign adenoma. Rarely, they are malignant. Rarely, the pituitary, they may have diffuse hyperplasia of the pituitary. This one, I'll skip it, although it's rare, but I think if you read it, you'll find it easy. They talk about the different types of nodular adrenal hyperplasia. Now, the adrenal tumors, so either the Cushing is because of the tumor in the pituitary producing STH, or STH produced by ectopic source, or because of the adrenal has a neoplasm, adenoma, or hyperplasia. And here they are talking about adrenal adenomas. Usually in these cases, the adrenal is quite enlarged. I told you at the beginning that the gland usually is 4 to 5 grams, but here it might reach 70 or 100 grams. When you find a large mass in the abdomen, this could be due to adrenal adenoma. Carcinoma also could be caused, either adenoma or carcinoma. These are the symptoms. Again, non-specific symptoms. Some of them are general, like central obesity. It's important to have central obesity. You find the limbs relatively thin compared to the body or the trunk. Proximal muscle weakness. Yani you call it proximal myopathy, and you know how to check for that clinically. You ask a patient to do squatting and to stand up without supporting the hands, and he cannot do that, this means that there is a proximal myopathy in the pelvic girdle. While the shoulder girdle, if you press over the arms against resistance, you ask a patient to raise and you press down, and if you can overcome easily, this means the patient has proximal myopathy in the shoulder girdle. Hypertension is very common, headache, some psychiatric disturbance, sometimes you increase the cortisol. Skin manifestations like purple color striae, usually are white in the abdomen or around the breast or the shoulders, sometimes the local regions. Spontaneous ecchymosis, bruises. You find them very easily found. Facial plethoralism, moon face. Hyperpigmentation, you may find in acne, hirsutism, fungal infection, all these. And in addition to this, you may find metabolic problems, like the opposite of adrenal insufficiency, you may find hypokalemia here, and alkalosis, osteopenia or osteoporosis sometimes, delayed bone age, menstrual disturbance, you may find glucose intolerance, or even diabetes, kidney stones rarely, and these things, okay? عندكم محاضرة الآن صح؟
قلت
In children, Cushing syndrome can present more acutely. I don't think I can cover it. Because I wanted to cover the how do you evaluate, but really it needs time. كان مهم جدا how to evaluate the case, how to work it out. I didn't mind. حتى إذا حصل كنت ممكن أتعمل لكم the other disorders which are very important. Pheochromocytoma, hyperplasia. If you find time, I don't mind.